Thank you, Carolyn Nolan, for singing that song, that introduction song, or Western song, which is a little bit different. It's not a Christian song, but it is a Western song, a very popular song that helps to introduce the message today. And today's message is Don't Fence Me In. With that, I just want to say howdy, as my brothers in Christ, Stan and Roy, have taught me or embedded in me that term. I want us to go to the Lord and ask Him to bless this message. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for today. I want to thank You for Your Word. I pray Your Word will simply feed Your people. I pray that You, Father, will be glorified, and I pray that You will lift up Your Son, Jesus, through this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't Fence Me In was a country western song originally written in 1934. It was released and made famous in the year 1944 by Roy Rogers. It was chosen as one of the top 100 most favorite songs of all time. It's a song about the freedom of a wide open country. And that kind of resonates with us today, with the freedoms that we've had infringed upon of late in our country, in our states, in our cities, in our counties. The cowboy wants to ride where the West commences and gaze at the moon till he loses his senses. He can't stand fences. And so we're seeing a picture here of the cowboy that says, hey, I just want to ride off into the sunset. No fences, no restrictions, just ride off and do what he wants. But apparently, this cowboy did not have a mom that taught him the value of fences. Now, I can tell you, guarantee you, that these brothers in Christ of mine, Stan and Roy, were taught by a godly mom. And they were taught values and principles because they grew up to be men of good, godly standards. And I thank God for the investment that their mother put into them. Do you remember the mom in the movie A Christmas Story? Do you remember the classic line from that movie? The kid Ralphie wanted, specifically stated and wanted, a Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. And I was always impressed with that kid, man. He was probably, I don't know, I'm guessing age, maybe 11 or maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. But he knew exactly and just nailed the title of what he wanted and that particular rifle. And I thought that was so impressive. But poor Ralphie, the first reaction, because he was afraid to mention it. He was afraid to say it, but it was so much on his heart in the movie that he just blurted it out exactly what it was. And his mom heard it, and she did not like that idea. In fact, she rejected that idea instantly because she said, you're going to shoot your eye out with a gun. If you remember the movie, the father just kind of looked at her like, no, he won't, that type of a thing. But there's an instinctive character in moms to be extra protective and to watch out for their children. So like all moms, Ralphie's mom was being a great protector, and she was putting a fence up around her son, again, to protect him. And even though a fence seems like a barrier or a restriction to our lives, a fence is also a protection. I have to say that I think, generally speaking, when we have restrictions or barriers, these types of things, that our instant thought is that we're being robbed of our independence, robbed of our freedom, robbed of our liberties, and we are being squelched, if you will, from having the freedom that we have a right to. In some cases, that's true. But in this case, in this example, in this message, it's not the case. It was truly a barrier of direction and protection. Most of us in California have fences around our yards. We want to keep our dogs in the backyard, keep them safe. We want to make sure that they're not running around loose and violating leash laws or running loose. And maybe not, you certainly don't want them to get scared or aggressive and bite someone. And we don't want them to get hit by a car and get hurt badly or even die. So we have fences for our dogs in the backyard to protect them. We have fences in our yards to protect our children, that they don't run off into the street, or that maybe someone doesn't come into our yard and kidnap our kids, that we have a better eye on them, a better protection over them. And so these fences are put in place as a form of safety and really to give a fuller life and not a life that's robbed. Because if dogs are living and happy and cared for, They're talking about the dogs in the backyard analogy. So much so, as you already know, if our children are protected, then they also have a fuller life. And so the fence, it does restrict movement beyond those barriers. But a fence can keep us from entering into unsafe areas. A fence can bring us a sense of freedom in life, believe it or not, because there's a security. Kids see the fence, they know that's their security. They're secure, they're protected. Even when a parent lays down the law and says no and makes those parameters very clear to their children, it establishes security on those children. That the parents care for them, love them, protect them, shield them, and are trying to keep them from harm's way. And so we see that with those restrictions of fences. We see those in the restrictions in life. We can also, if we're honest, can see the restrictions that God has laid in his word, not to rob us of life, but to give us the fullness of life as he intends for us to have. So every mom gives us a warning, trying to teach us a life lesson or restrict our running crazy and doing whatever we want. And so I know that for me, as a kid growing up, I was just kind of clumsy. And my family might say maybe I'm still clumsy. But my mother, I can still hear her voice speaking to me when I was just a young child. And I can hear her saying, "Terry, not too close. Terry, don't climb up on that wall." If it was a border over looking over something, or I grew up in Florida, maybe on a coastline that was not a very safe area to go into, but I can just specifically hear her saying, "Terry, not too close," because she was worried that I would stumble and fall and get hurt, because in all honesty, I was a clumsy kid. And so she was trying to protect me. Because moms love us, they want the best for our lives, they want to protect us. And moms are a reflection of God in that they demonstrate God's love for us. That's how God intended. God intended for the tenderness of his heart to be reflected more through a mom. You might debate that a little bit, but that's kind of how I see it. I kind of see it like your father as being one that God is saying, "This is the word, and this is the authority, and this is what I have to say." Not that the father doesn't show love and compassion, but a mom has a mother's way of loving and caring and being more tender than a dad does most of the time. And so the mom is there to demonstrate that tenderness and compassion of God's love. And God wants the best for us, just like our moms do. God sometimes puts fences up and around us to protect us. Now we say, well, we can say, well, the word of God is there that we find the fences of moral standards in which God says we can live in this restricted area, but don't cross the fence in these areas. And there are all sorts of things that God says in his word that are acceptable to us, those safe areas that are fenced in, and that are unacceptable to us, those areas that are fenced to keep us from going into as well, all because of love for each one of us. Now, even though Ralphie wanted that Ranger Rider gun, that in itself is not necessarily a bad thing, so long as he learned how to use it safely and correctly. I mean, anybody that's involved with guns knows that if you are safe with guns and you use them rightly and correctly, then that's the right way to have a gun. If you can't have that respect for guns that way, you shouldn't have one, because you can hurt yourself or hurt someone else. And so there are guidelines even in having a BB gun that Ralphie wanted. Or as we get older, maybe there are those that have real guns. But there are definite guidelines that we are to uphold to keep ourselves and other people safe as we use those guns. And so Ralphie had to learn that God had a concern for him, as demonstrated through his mother, but also his father taught him that he could have the gun, but use it rightly. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." We need to be careful and understand that we may have freedoms in our life, but just because we have freedom in our life doesn't mean it's the right decision to do so. Speaking of fences, I remember my son driving through fields and drove through barbed wire fencing out in the field. Well, that wasn't there for him to drive through, but he made the decision to do it. That was not the right decision at all. And we need to understand that even though he had the freedom to make that decision to do it, it's not the right decision. There may be times, even more specifically in our walk with Christ, that we know in our maturity in Christ that we have a freedom to live a certain way. But if that freedom infringes upon someone else and causes them maybe not to want to be a Christian or maybe to question the reality and the integrity of Christianity, and that they stumble and fall because of our actions, maybe having a drink, and causing someone else to stumble and fall and making their judgments upon us. I mean, having a drink is not wrong, but making sure that others don't stumble as a result of our liberty of having one is something for us to consider. Don't misunderstand me, and I don't want to belabor this, or get off track on this message, but just understand that God gives us freedom to do things, but we're to use those freedoms in a right way so that we don't harm ourselves and that we don't harm other people. And that's what's meant by Paul here, that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build up. Moms, quote unquote, lay down the law. Why? To protect us and to guide us. Terry, get off that wall. Don't get too close, because she knew her son. She knew that I was clumsy. In Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, there's some advice given. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." In other words, if we do what we've been taught that is right, if our mothers teach us what is right, our parents teach us right values, if we adhere to what God teaches us in His Word, then that's right. That as we implement those values into our lives and live those values, it becomes an ornament of grace. In other words, it becomes something that is becoming and not something that is damaging to our character. It's something that's a positive influence on others and not a negative influence on others. And so we need to remember that as we apply the truths that we've been taught for our own good, it is something that will show grace in our lives, that will honor our lives and not harm our lives. We are not to forsake the law of our mothers. I didn't just say that because this is a Mother's Day message, but the scripture did say, obey the laws of your mother. And scripture even goes on and says, you know, obey your mother and father. Why? Because parents that love their children are teaching them the right way to live. Christian parents teach them the principles of God and His Word to implement those values into their lives. So I want to encourage our physical and spiritual moms. Now, did you catch that? I want to encourage our physical and spiritual moms to make sure that they are not only teaching earthly wisdom, like don't touch the stove, it's hot, or you'll get burned. Now, you, as a Christian mom, you are you're a physical mom, and you are responsible for teaching spiritual truth to your children. But also, God brings children into your home because of the connections that your kids have with other children. God brings children into your lives because as parents, and whatever level and age your kids are, wherever you are in life as parents, that you connect with other parents in your same arena of life, and those kids come under your influence as well. Your influence makes a big difference, and as Christian women, Christian moms, you are a spiritual influence on those kids around you. And so in a sense, you become like a spiritual mom to those kids that come in to your home. And so be mindful of that responsibility and make sure that you're teaching what is right to your children and influencing them and other children in a way that's honoring to God. God's ways are His law. in our human nature, we hear law and then there's a sense of rebellion, but that doesn't come from God. Law does not rob, law liberates. You don't experience that until you experience the application of God's principles with a right heart with Him as a believer in Christ. So, moms need to lay down God's law too. Mom's law and God's law will be a graceful ornament on your head. In other words, things of beauty. Things that enhance the wearer's life. These laws, these principles, physically and spiritually applied, will benefit your life. That's what fences can do. They enhance and benefit those that respect those fences. When we obey God and His word in our lives are better. When we obey our parents, our lives are better when they are teaching those things that are right and we are yielding to that. In the Old West days, the rancher's cattle used to run free on the range. In the Old West days, there weren't the fences, just markers that said where their property lines were. But it created a problem for farmers because cattle would go into farming fields and wreck the crops, eat the field or trample it down or whatever. And so fences had to go up to protect the crops. Now I'll say something that sounds a little bit silly, but it says right here in my notes, it says, now some of us may think we can live on beef alone. Now I can see my son doing that. I can see my daughter and son-in-law's son saying that too. All they want is meat. That's all they care about. So some of us may think, well, we just care about eating beef alone. But the reality is that we need to have vegetables in order to be healthier. Now, it sounds a little corny, but the point is this, that fences are necessary to provide what's good for us. The ranchers have their cattle. The farmers have their fields. It's just a typology, just a picture, just some sort of reference point to help us understand that both of those venues are important necessities in our life. But the real point is that the values that we invest in our children, that mom invests in their children, based upon principle, you know, logic, don't touch the stove, it's hot, it'll burn you, and that of God's word, God said this, you need to do what God says because God loves you. Those are the fences that need to be present and presented in front of children, and a lot of times the moms do that very well as they lay those lines. I mean, let's face the reality, there are many times that moms are home more, not so much in this later culture that we have, but when I was growing up, moms were home much more than fathers were. And so moms were always investing these values in their kids. Dads did too, but moms were there most of the time with their kids. And they have a responsibility to invest those principles, to set those boundaries, to show the fence lines, not to rob them of life, but to give them freedom and life and goodness in their lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-7, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I want to read that in another, that's called the Shema in Hebrew, that section of scripture. Actually, there's a little bit more to it than those two verses. But in Mark 12:30-31, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Man, God's just saying, here's a law, here's a fence. Don't stop loving God first. And always love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Those are great values, but that also brings a greater fullness of life in our own lives and in the lives of others that we influence. And so the laws and the ways of God really do bring freedom despite what the song had said. The song had said, don't fence me in. That's what the intent of the song in the last part. You know, I don't like fences and just want to ride on without seeing a fence. That was the emphasis in that song. But in James 1:25 it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's freedom, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If we do the perfect law, if we apply the word of truth, if we listen to the counsel of our mothers and our fathers, our parents, and we listen to that counsel, then it will only benefit us. Because that last part of the verse says, this one will be blessed in what he does. Blessings will come to those who continue in the laws of God and are doers of the work. Who don't, or let me say it another way, I said that wrong, or who doesn't want a blessing from God. When we do what's right, we receive blessings from God. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, it says this. It's another reason why we should stay in the fences and follow the laws of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, reaching the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Staying in the fences of God's laws and ways brings salvation. We learn what it means to be saved. It brings freedom from sin. It brings wisdom. It brings freedom from wrong decisions. It brings joy to the heart and freedom from sadness, or freedom from the bondage of the mistakes that we've made in our lives. It brings enlightenment and freedom from ignorance and misinformation we gain when we apply the truth of God's word and good principles into our lives. It brings spiritual cleanness, freedom from sin and filth. The gospel is very simple. Anyone whose heart is open to the gospel will not complicate it and will see the simplicity of it. Most Christians know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, for your sins, took the punishment for your sins, the things that we were supposed to be punished for our sins, Jesus took that punishment upon himself for us on the cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, and that he's alive today, then if we know that, and we ask Christ to come into our life to forgive us of our sins, and we tell him we're sorry for our sin, and we're going to do our best to live a life that's pleasing to him, and we ask him to come into our heart and our lives, then he will save us. You want to know something? You can know that you are going to heaven when you die. That's something that a lot of people think that's not something that we can decide for ourselves. Only God can decide that. But in 1 John 5:10 through 13, it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And so when we ask Christ to forgive us for our sins, acknowledging what he did for us on the cross, saying, thank you, Lord, for dying for my sin and taking the punishment of God's wrath on yourself for my sin in place of me, and we ask God to forgive us of our sin, and we repent of our sin, and we ask him into our lives to be our personal Lord and Savior, and we do that with a genuine heart, then God promises he will come into your life, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. A genuine heart receiving Christ with a humble heart and spirit, asking him to come into their lives, God will never, ever reject. The gospel does not fence us in from living life. The gospel protects us from losing life. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we gain eternal life. And we don't lose life as those who choose not to receive Christ. The gospel leads us to new life through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus will show you a new way of living, a new perspective in life. And there are guidelines to that. And the guideline is, one, receive my Son into your life. Receive Jesus into your life. And two, learn to apply the principles of the fences and the laws and the things that God says that we should do and the things that we should not do. Regard them with respect that we will grow into the men and women for Jesus that he wants us to be. But I want to continue before I close out this message. Psalm 19, 10 and 11. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. What are they talking about? It's talking about the word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Remember what I was saying about people that we know, like my brothers in Christ, Roy and Stan, and many others that I know, who have had invested in their life values that shape them to be good, godly men, or others that are good, godly Christian women. And so those values have been implemented, and they've received the reward of those blessings, of those values of God's way into their lives and being responsible, godly people. God's word or law is to be desired, like we desire a favorite food. For me, it's ice cream or pizza. We should want to read and know God's word as much as we love food and as much as we crave it. We'll be rewarded with freedom in life when we stay in the fences of God's word and his laws. So moms, thank you. Thank you for putting up fences safely around your children for their protection because of your love for them and your desire for them to have good lives. Thank you for exemplifying God's love and protecting us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your structure. You've given us parents. You've given us moms that love us in a way that only a mom can love us, with a tenderness that's different from that, like that of a father. You've given us moms that have given us borders, barriers, fence lines, truth to protect us and to help keep us from harm, that we might live lives to the fullest. Thank you, Lord, for giving that structure of a mom in our life, our own mothers. And thank you for how they have influenced us in ways that bring you honor and glory and praise. Help us, Father, to honor them every day of our lives. And Father, I ask that you will bless them today as it's Mother's Day, as they deal with the toils of motherhood, all the challenges and all the exhaustion that comes with it. May it always overflow with a heart of love and protection for their children and provision for them and direction for them, that they might live their lives to the fullest that you intend their children to live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.